I am about to record an interview in Krakow with Jacob Nowakowski, the director of the Galicia Museum. This interview will be highlighted on Radio Wisla, which is Seattle-based. I hope you will enjoy my conversation with Jacob regarding the Galicia Museum, now famous in Kazimierz, the Jewish section of Krakow, a site most important during the 23rd annual Jewish Cultural Festival.
It is a pleasure to be here in Krakow for the 23rd Jewish Cultural Festival, and I'm sitting in the office of the Galicia Museum's director, Jacob Nowakowski, and after having had a wonderful day yesterday at an event where the ambassador from Israel to Poland spoke, attending a program about the latest activities on the righteous, I'm here to ask Jacob a few questions about the museum and his directorship and his ideas for the future. So let me begin. Jacob, Polish Americans love Krakow. Its history, its culture, the architecture, and of course the Jagiellonian University, many have attended. They also love Kazimierz with its windy streets, cafes, and clubs playing music into the night. Please share with us the story of your presence in Krakow. Is it home as a Pole? How did you become director of a Polish Jewish museum?
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for the invitation to this interview. I'm really honored. And yes, Krakow is home. It's definitely home. Kazimierz, this former Jewish area, is also home because this is where my family lived for generations. So I was born here and raised here, and in Kazimierz, and I spent the most of my life here. So in all the possible ways, yes, that's home. It's always been home. For me and for my family, this was always our neighborhood. My family always worked for many, many years before the Second World War. My family was a Catholic minority in the Jewish town of Kazimierz. So again, this was always their area. And then when I was born, from very beginning, all of that, both synagogues and churches, this was part of my story. From very beginning, I knew that this is my hill. The problem was that my Kazimierz was very different from the Kazimierz of my grandfather's. The buildings were the same, pretty much the same, but there would be the people were very different. And both my grandparents knew this and sensed it. But I thought I could see that there are areas which are empty, which are gray, which are abandoned. And this led me to questions. Those synagogues, beautiful buildings, are left alone, left abandoned, or empty, or dark. Discovering the Jewish cemetery where we were playing football, and the ball went over the wall, and climbing over the wall, being just a young boy, and then finding this secret garden, this totally different world with those monuments, with those stones covered in this strange language. So this was like a secret part of my, and this was all interesting for me from the very beginning. My parents were always telling me, of course, that these are synagogues, these are not the Jews. Like, they didn't know much about the Jewishness itself. They didn't know much about the Jewish history. They were born, my parents were born in post-war Poland, where this subject was not taught at schools. So it made me to start asking questions. I was fortunate to meet the good teachers in high school, which were encouraging my researches. And then I joined the Jewish Studies Department here at the Jagiellonian University in Krakow, which I graduated. And then already I was working here at the Galicia Jewish Museum, at the Education Department, actually Building Education Department. And then in 2010, after my predecessor, Kate Crady, moved back to England, there was the international contest, and I applied. And here we are, 3 years later. So yes, definitely it's home. It's always been home. And in a wider sense, I think that those things, that everything that is happening here today in Poland, which is this revival of Jewish life, but also revival of interest in Jewish culture, is motivated by the same things. I think Poles knows that this is a part of their story that they know very little about, and that's great. This is making this all the efforts genuine, because those people, in most cases, the people that were here yesterday in the ceremony, they did what they did not for foreign tourists, not for international press or recognition, not for medals. They did it for themselves. Yes. They did it because they felt that it's important to take care of the Jewish cemetery. They felt it's wrong that there are tombstones, you know, paved in the road, or it's bad that there's a modern synagogue. And they spend their own money, their own efforts, in order to do this for themselves.
I'm so glad you told me this. I think I perhaps knew this in my heart. You have such special qualities that you bring to your presence. Well, the history of the museum focus on the development of the museum from the time of its remarkable beginning under Chris Schwartz's directorship and Kate Crady's and Professor Jonathan Weber.
Mm-hmm.
I might add that I belong to a small organization, PIA, led by Dennis Mizovic, many years ago, was a part of Chris's efforts to do the exhibition on the righteous. So I know of the history academically, but could you just speak about this evolution in a broad way as a director?
Of course, the museum was created by a number of wonderful people. Most of all, of course, by Chris Schwartz, the photographer, founder and the first director of the Galicia Jewish Museum. Chris came back to Poland for the first time in 1980s. He was quite famous photojournalist, and he was sent to Poland to cover the Solidarity Movement by one of the English newspapers. Then after working on Solidarity, he was a traveler. So he would go to small places around Warsaw and Krakow, and he would discover traces of Jewish life. He would start documenting them as well. And pretty much in the same time of, in the middle of the 1980s, Professor Jonathan Weber, the British scholar academic, he would also be coming to Poland, bringing here students and scholars to do the same, to document the traces of Jewish life, to speak with the inhabitants of small towns and villages to see how they remember Jews. So for more or less 10 years they would work together on the same project, but very independently. They were not aware of their existence. Until the beginning of the 1990s, they met and then decided to work together on the same project that they called Traces of Memory. And at the beginning, it was to be a huge book, an album devoted to traces of Jewish lives in Poland, in southern Poland. But then, at some point, especially Chris decided that he wants something more. He wants something different than only a book. He was something more interactive. And then in winter of 2003, he was then at the time still based in England. He sold out his apartment. He packed everything to his car, and he drove through England to Poland in the middle of biting Polish winter. And then 6 months later, the museum was open. Chris had a dream, and he was a dreamer. He was an artist. He never directed any institution. He was never a director of a museum before.
It's amazing.
And maybe precisely because he never done such things, he believed that he is capable of doing this. Mm-hmm. He decided to do this, and he succeeded. He created an institution that in those 9 years became one of the most important Jewish museums and Jewish institutions in Poland. With exhibitions, educational programs, cultural programs that are bringing here every year over 30,000 people, plus approximately 20,000-25,000 people that are working outside. So he created something remarkable. Together with Professor Jonathan Weber, they curated the exhibition that is the heart of the museum until today, mm-hmm. Traces of Memory, which is the photographic documentation of the Jewish presence in Poland. And from the very beginning, they wanted to create something special. So they decided that they would not use artifacts. They decided that in order to tell the story in an appealing way, they will use contemporary photographs, colorful photographs, and they will use story. So rather than focusing on objects, they focus on the story of the Jewish presence in Poland for almost 1,000 years. So this is what is unique in this museum, that rather on objects we're telling the stories. And through our main exhibition today, but also through temporary exhibitions, we always are focusing on the stories and the people. What they wanted to show is that what they knew is that the history of the Jews of Poland is overshadowed by actions. That they knew that if the foreign tourists are coming to Poland to learn anything about Jews, they are learning about the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. And they felt that this means that the 700 or 800 years of the history is being forgotten. And they wanted to create this exhibition in a way that it would tell this story, it would show the richness and diversity of the Jewish life before the Holocaust. It would show the ferocity of the Nazi destruction and the totalness of destruction. So there is also a section about the Holocaust. And then we'll also show the effects of the Holocaust, which is the absence of the Jews. Before the war, 9 years ago, 70 years ago, Poland had the largest Jewish population in Europe, 3.5 million people. 90% of them were killed in the Holocaust. So today, if going especially outside large cities, you can see absence. You can see empty synagogues. You can see abandoned cemeteries, overgrown. And you can see how much has been destroyed. So they decided to create this exhibition in a way that would tell all those stories. It would tell also how, after the war, both Poles and Jews try to commemorate this past, try to deal with this difficult subjects. Mm-hmm. And finally they try to put some to look at the story from slightly different angles, asking what's important, asking what are the symbols of Jewish life in Poland, whether it's Auschwitz, and that's the symbol of the Jewish experience in Poland is Auschwitz, or not, or maybe synagogues. What's the best symbol, or what's they asking if for many people the best symbol of Holocaust would be Auschwitz. They are offering a different perspective. For them, Auschwitz is a symbol of the Nazi atrocity. The Auschwitz is not telling you anything about Jews or the people that were killed there. Auschwitz tells you about the perpetrators. For them, the much better and much poignant symbol of the Holocaust would be empty abandoned synagogue in the countryside that you can find today. You going there, you can see paintings, beautiful paintings that will tell you something about the richness of this, the communists that built it. The emptiness today, the ruins will tell you how the Holocaust influenced us today.
I reread the book recently, and what impressed me was the intense collaboration between Professor Weber and Chris, and also the photography mm-hmm. in itself, and Professor Weber's ability to enhance the description of these images, and a very special experience to go through the book in a quiet way, because what you're saying is true, that Auschwitz isn't, certainly should not be the main aspect of the history, but it has become in many ways.
Of course, and Auschwitz, going to Auschwitz is extremely important, and Auschwitz needs to be on a schedule of the trips to Poland. You need to go to Auschwitz to understand the destruction and the capabilities of man. The Nazis were not different than we are today. The Jews that were killed in Auschwitz were not different than we are today. All of those things were made by humans very similar to us. So Auschwitz is important to see what things can happen when the good people look in another way.
Jacob, could you comment about the exhibit in its travels? Have you drawn any conclusions about the responses from people all over? I believe the exhibit has gone to how many continents?
Three.
Yes.
So, the exhibition was traveling. We had the exhibition presented in Israel, in Europe. We had exhibition presented also in the United States just recently. Mm-hmm. In California, San Francisco, before that in Washington and New York, so in a couple of places.
And as you said, the photographs are getting a little bit worn. Is there something that potential donors could pay respect to that?
Of course,
this might be a well worthy cause for somebody who would like to help out.
The exhibition is traveling already for a couple of years, so it's natural that although all the venues are making go whatever is possible to take care of it and to mount it gently, it's getting worn out.
Yes.
So definitely, in order to make the life of the exhibition longer and in order to travel it further, at some point we'll need to make a decision. Are we able to? Do we have enough funds to reprint the captions, to reprint the photographs, or we just need to end this trip and then hope that in a couple of next years we'll be able to bring some other project there.
Yes.
But definitely we would be more than happy because of the great and wonderful feedback we're receiving.
Yes.
On this exhibition, that would be wonderful. We would be more than happy to travel it. For the next many years, as
thank
the stories
you.
That it's told us are really, yes. really amazing. And the museum has changed during those 9 years a lot. When it was created by the foreigners, by the outsiders, Chris and Jonathan, although they had a huge connection with Poland, although they decided to stay here. Chris decided to stay here after 2004 and then he was in an apartment, he became part of the Kazimierz. And Jonathan today is living, he moved from England as well, and he's today he's teaching at the university, and he's a Pole today. They were outsiders, and for many years the museum was created by the outsiders, and was also mainly for outsiders, for international visitors mm-hmm. that would come mm-hmm. to Poland. And the message was that they wanted to show them how rich the Jewish life was and is, how much is to see beside Auschwitz. And nevertheless, at the beginning, less around 95% of the visitors would be visitors from abroad. 5% would be Poles. And last year, in 2012, 40% of the visitors were Poles, and the Poles are the fastest growing group among our visitors. Polish kids are the largest group of the kids
that are in
education activity. So it is. We are very extremely proud of this shift. And every year, of course, we have more and more visitors both from Poland and international. But for us, it's we're proud of this because it shows that there is this natural and genuine interest of the Poles in all generations.
That's wonderful. There's never a time that when I have come into the museum that there isn't a program going on. And this morning it was wonderful to see the children.
Yes, actually they
participating.
Are now. They are now doing some workshops, some painting on the wall and on the glass. And so we have programs for kids and families. We have programs for young students. We have a program for university students. We're working with teachers and professors. And finally, we have also programs for senior citizens.
Well, this leads to my next question. Since the museum has changed so much, can you refer to some specific goals that are for the future? Certainly, yesterday's program on the righteous was quite unique. Would you say this is the typical new kind of program where
so many people were involved, and the people who attended were most responsive to the sophistication of the information. But I would imagine that this kind of program requires a lot of financial support.
Yes, we are involved in this program since 2007 or 8. Then at the time we became partners, and this is the program that is organized by a couple of institutions. By the originally it was created, the entire program and idea was created by one individual, Mr. Michael Tryson, who is American lawyer, but also a person that is very deeply involved in the changes that are taking place.
I'm sorry, when did he begin his interest?
17 years ago.
Oh.
So he started this program 17 years ago, and so far around 180 people from all Poland was recognized for taking care of the Jewish heritage. And this was the program that was created by Michael. He 17 years ago, he believed, he saw how much good things are happening around the country, how little the people know about it.
Exactly, that was my feeling yesterday. People have to know, because yes, they know of the righteous and they know the basics of Yad Vashem, and but I don't think there's an awareness, particularly for Polish Americans, that there's so much going on. But news is always forthcoming. I heard recently, a friend informed me that there's a new documentary about Prince Philip's mother, our present queen's mother-in-law, in that she was a woman who was one of the righteous, and I've never been aware of that information before. I guess with the help of the internet, we're learning more and more. But the program yesterday was very moving. It was fascinating that there were creative people who were doing work, and people who have formed organizations to renovate synagogues and to do what their heart felt was best, not that they're being dictated by any organization or religious factor or a synagogue. Yes. Well, may I? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, just that precisely. That's why it's so valuable that those people are very often they finding they're living in small communities, so they don't have external support, they don't have external funding, they're spending their own time and efforts and means in order to do something, and also this project is created to create bonds between them, so they would not feel that they are only one, that they doing that they are abandoned, that they feel that they are supported, to show them that there are people and institutions that can help. To give them strength.
This is so important. I remember years ago going to Soviet War under the guidance of Thomas Blatt, who was an escapee from Soviet War, and stopping at a particular village and witnessing the construction of a cafe from a former synagogue, and getting a sense of the complete frustration that the people on the tour felt, basically because there you were in, is it Helm?
Helm.
Yeah, so isolated, and the questions came forth from people on the tour, well, where would they turn for help? And it's within the individual community. So that was what was being witnessed yesterday. It was very moving for someone like myself not having.
It is, and it's the main reason for this is that the Jewish community of present day Poland, although it's growing, although it's getting more and more involved and active, it's still very small. So considering that today in Poland we have still approximately 1,200 synagogues and 700 Jewish cemeteries, which is in most cases are in small towns and villages, in most cases in bad condition. Mm-hmm. The Jewish community of Poland is not able to upkeep them, to secure them. And then there is a problem, what to do with the synagogue in a place without the Jews?
Yes.
Or a small town and village. And fortunately there are more and more people like those that we had here yesterday that are trying to help, that are trying to include this building in the narration of the city.
Well, it's wonderful too.
There are also of course the other stories, you know, about places where the synagogues are being turned into shops and there would be no information, no plaque that would say that any trace of the Jewishness would be covered. So that's even more reasons to encourage people like we had yesterday.
There's such activism. It was a marvelous experience to witness it. And this leads into my next question. There have been many programs at the Galicia that are typical museum programs. And there are some, like the program yesterday, that was so unique. What stands out in your mind as having been another exceptional program in the past year or so? I understand that Roz Jacobs and Lori Weissman's Memory Project has been a big success, even shown on PBS.
Yes.
And, the ambassadors talked yesterday. Can you perhaps discuss some other program that's been unusual and extraordinary?
For the museum, we have two areas that are especially important for us. One area is, of course, exhibitions, and the other is education. So Memory Project is an example of one of the educational projects. That is excellent.
Could you explain it a bit for...
Sure. The project is based on making portraits and learning about stories of the children that were lost in the Holocaust. It's based on the personal story of the authors, the search for missing brother, it's all of this is done by art. So we have the kids and teachers working in entire Poland. The exhibition has traveled, and the educational program has traveled to entire country, working on the portraits of the children lost in during the war, making the portraits, and then learning about their stories, learning about Holocaust, learning about pure life, but also learning about the destruction. And that's an example of one of the projects that is so moving, but also easy to travel, easy to take place. It doesn't need special equipment, doesn't need a lot of money. What you need is a pencil and a paper.
To what do you attribute the success of that project?
Because it's
therapeutic. That's
it is, but it's also what is amazing is that for us people it's far easier to connect to the story of a single person.
Mm-hmm.
For us, it's hard to imagine the number of 6 million victims, 3 million victims. It means nothing, it's too much.
Mm-hmm.
For us, it's far more important is to learn the story of one single person.
Beautiful.
And that's one of the examples. The other example, also connected with kids, is the so-called Crocus Project. Every fall, we are sending bulbs of crocus to schools, and then along with educational materials and so on, the kids from schools are putting the bulbs in the ground, and then in spring, the flowers are blooming.
as a symbol of hope, it's a symbol of life, but it's also a symbol of destruction. Each material is devoted to that special person, the special group of people. So when the project started 5 years ago, or 4 years ago, we had approximately 2,000 kids in Poland. Last year, in 2012, we had 16,000 kids in the entire Poland participating in this project. So that's great.
That's wonderful.
And
if I may say, having been a teacher, former educator, and parent, that the parents must feel very satisfied to participate in something that's so positive, like planting bulbs, and to experience, you know, the beauty and joy of such a thing.
Sure.
That's wonderful.
None of those projects wouldn't happen if there would be no teachers that believe that this is worth of doing, director of the school, parents, and
a lot of cooperation.
So this was really these are the things that we are very proud of. But also exhibitions, of course, for us as a museum, the exhibition is exhibitions always will be a heart and then the core of our activity. Since we are a non-profit charity foundation, we are very rarely able to bring here to Poland to Krakow the very expensive exhibitions. So being aware of that, we're trying to actually to find new projects, new stories, to bring them out, to show them here for the first time, so they could then travel. And this was true for the exhibition on the Rights of the Many Nations with Paya, with Dennis Missler, with Chris. But also recently, one of our most moving exhibitions was the exhibition of the artworks of a young Jewish boy called Richard Apte. We had this exhibition last year, and the story is very short. Richard Apte was born in 1923 here in Krakow, and he was in 1939 when the war broke out. He was still a teenager, a young boy. But he was already very well known here in Krakow as a very skilled artist. He had a skill. He was an amazing painter, even when he was young. He would, even though he was too young to attend university, he would be allowed to participate at the classes in the art school and the university. He would paint for newspapers here in Krakow. Mm-hmm. Then the war broke out in 1939. His family fled to Lviv, and then they came back to Krakow. And in 1942, they were rounded up in Bielicka, not far from Krakow. The parents of Richard Apte were killed. His aunts were killed because they were too old to work. Mm-hmm. And Apte, because he was still young, along with his cousin, were sent to slave labor camp, where after 2 weeks they tried to escape from. They were caught and hanged. So 1942, the entire story of the Apte family here in Krakow and here in there in Lviv ended up. They were destroyed. But 70 years later, in 2009, at the attic of the house where they stayed in Vilichka, and at the time of the war in 1942, they stayed in the house of the Polish family. At the house of this, of the attic of this house, the box is being discovered. Inside of the box, there are drawings. Titled Richard Apte 1942. These were the drawings that he left behind when he was taken to the Stalowa Wola, slave labor camp. He knew that he'll not survive. And the last words that he said to his friends, the Polish family that was sheltering them, was make sure that this will survive.
Sure.
The father of the Polish family, four helping the Jews, were sent to Auschwitz and killed there. So after the war, this story would not be told. This was too painful for the Polish family. They lost the father, they lost the Jewish friends that stayed with them. So this would never be told. Until 70 years later, in 2009, the box is discovered, and those amazing paintings are being found. And we are the first museum that presented those original artworks. And it's remarkable.
It's just amazing.
We can actually give a couple of catalogs for the listeners of the Radio Wisła, and they can receive the catalogs of this exhibition.
All right, we will make some arrangement for that. That's a
great idea. Thank you. Well, continuing with these questions, I believe we've covered this, but I want to emphasize my reaction to the positivism of that the museum has created. And the Jewish Cultural Festival is in its 23rd year and includes many activities and literary discussions, exhibitions, and workshops. And as was printed in some catalog, the horrors of the Nazis were meant to been wiped out. Was meant to wipe out the Jews, and thanks to survivors and descendants of all interested in their heritage, memory of the Polish community continues to be alive. It seems more and more that the Glitzy Museum has become a focal point for the festival. Could you comment on that? Will you be needing a new building soon?
Well, that would be nice. That would be definitely have more ideas than space. And sure, it's the festival is a wonderful time, and we are the large part of what's going on.
Yes, I would say so.
So it means that during the 9 days, we will have this year 54 things going on at the museum. So it's every day almost 4 or 5 things. So yes, for us it's the best time of the year, because mm-hmm. we can see so many people coming. So many people coming to celebrate and to rejoice and to admire the Jewish life that existed here for so long and that exists today in Poland.
Especially for you.
And especially for us.
In your neighborhood.
Of course, to see the neighborhood living.
Not just marvelous.
And the festival is wonderful because the festival is not an open air skansen of the Jewish world that was destroyed. It's an opposite. The festival and all the things that are going and taking place here and here at the museum and on the ships and in the undergrounds and on the open air and the pubs, restaurants, museums, everywhere, they are devoted to life. They are celebrating the life.
We're really encouraging people to come, aren't we, as we
yes,
talk?
Yes, the festival is the yes. best time to come.
And speaking of the nuts and bolts of an institution, I love the feeling when I come into the museum of the staff members there. I don't think it has to do with training. They're just very engaging and their heart are in their work. Could you speak about the staff mm-hmm. and their responsibilities? Has it increased, I would imagine? And I have talked to a few of the kids there from all over the country. When I say country, they're out of Poland, aren't they? Out of Krakow, they're not just local.
And actually out of Poland. Mm-hmm. Yes, the museum is, we are able to do whatever we do only because of the wonderful staff that is working here. We have approximately 20 staff members.
20?
Mostly young people. For us, and I grew up with the Galicia Jewish Museum. I started to work there 7 or 8 years ago when I was still a student. So I really grew up with this place. And it's true for many members of the staff that they are growing up with us. We are usually searching for young people. Because for them, very often it's going to be maybe first or second job, and it's going to be they'll be able to devote their heart to this mm-hmm. to this institution. They searching for the people that is going to be not only work but also way of life, way of.
Yes.
Way of,
is there an I don't mean to cut you off. Is there an association between the staff and graduates from the Jewish program at mm-hmm. the Jagiellonian?
All of the members of our education department are either still students of the Jewish Studies Department or graduated from the Jewish Studies Department.
Yes.
It's so unique. Our connection is so unique because our museum is searching for the people that will know a lot about culture, not only Holocaust or destruction.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever we're hiring people, we're getting a lot of volunteers or people that would candidate from Holocaust programs. And while their knowledge on the Holocaust and destruction is amazing, what we're searching for is also people that will be able to explain those kids that we have next door, you know, 7 years old kids, what does it mean to be Jewish, what does it mean to celebrate Shabbat, and to show their life, not only death. So that's why we find the Jewish Studies Institute right now so amazing, because in a 5 years long program there will be a lot of classes devoted to Holocaust, but there will be also a lot of classes devoted to history and culture and language.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that we want, this is a part of our message, that it's not only the story of destruction. And then it's natural that although we are always open for different people, for educational activities, we usually are ending up with people from the Jewish Studies Institute here
yes.
in Krakow. But we also have, of course, there are people working in exhibitions department, in the fundraising department,
in special,
and some other.
Mm.
And then we don't require for them to be experts in Jewish studies.
Yes.
And then we have people from all over Poland. We have also volunteers, international young people, volunteers coming here from all over
yes,
the
world.
Yes,
and a young man from Vienna.
Mm-hmm.
From Vienna, we have people from States, we have people right now, we have volunteers from Hong Kong.
Oh,
we have people from Turkey,
yes, yes.
from Switzerland.
And should there be someone listening who is interested in the internship program? Could you speak about
mm-hmm.
that?
Of course, we are.
What are the qualifications?
No, it's a good heart.
Yes.
And a willing to spend time in Krakow. This is what is required.
Mm-hmm.
We have people in different ages. We have people in different backgrounds. Poles, Jews, Catholics, Muslims, people of virtually every single background you can imagine. What they find amazing at the museum is that that we are making the interns and volunteers part of the team. So they are participating in every single thing that is going on. So they are guiding groups, they are leading workshops, they are meeting with the righteous.
Yes. And you feel their vibrancy.
Yeah, so
we visit the museum.
We know that for us it's an amazing thing, you know, that to decide to spend a couple of months
yes.
here in Krakow. Sometimes, you know, it's summer, but we have also volunteers that are coming in winter, which is really, really amazing. And we feel that those people are the best people that we can work with.
They're wonderful people. I mingle with them. Thank you. May I continue here? I tried to get in touch with you last year and learned that you were out of the country visiting an important Polish Jewish organization in the States. What have been your destinations and what have been some of the most important observations, particularly in your role as director? Because as we are aware, the organizations are changing, and in this having this experience of exchanging ideas, have you concluded that the organizations are changing, growing to develop a deeper understanding of Polish-Jewish relations? I ask this because I'm an older person and well remember when the Holocaust or matters of Polish-Jewish interaction didn't exist. And there was a certain silence. Would you say that silence has been broken? And were you pleased by your travel experience?
Mm-hmm.
Were you in any way disappointed or shocked, or what would you say your experience was all about?
Always very positive.
Yes.
Where
did you go to start with?
In the United States, been to with exhibitions and conferences. I've been to
to Washington, to Philadelphia, to Chicago, to Milwaukee, to San Francisco, to Buffalo. So a couple of places, beautiful places. And everywhere I went, I met wonderful people. And so there's a lot of positive energy, and I think it's changing. The picture of Poland, unfortunately, very often is still frozen in time. I think I mean that when Poles, especially when people in the States, especially thinking of Poland, they very often use the old cliches, old photographs, old stories for Poland that has changed so much, especially during the last 20, 25 years, and 10 years. So the silence that you're talking about is slowly being broke.
Mm-hmm.
It's breaking slowly, but it's a process. What I find surprising always is how little people know about contemporary Poland, how little they know about contemporary Jewish-Polish relations. And it's true that the history of the Polish-Jewish relations wasn't easy. There was 800 years of coexistence, but there was also Holocaust. Poland was a center of Jewish life for centuries. Poland has the largest Jewish population. This was a center of life, and precisely because of that, it became as a center of destruction, an epicenter of the Holocaust. So Holocaust took place here. The Nazi camps, the Germans built the camps here, not in Germany, not in France, not in Netherlands. They built the camps here, and the destruction took place here. So Poland, considering Polish-Jewish relations, is extremely difficult land. It's a land of life, but also a land of destruction. And then after the war, there is the post-war silence, there is the post-war problems and post-war anti-Semitism, and there is the 1968 anti-Semitic campaign.
One has to understand.
Of course, you know, this is different Poland. This is the communist Poland. But still, for the people that are thrown out from this country, it's difficult. It's difficult to believe that the country has changed.
Yes, I have searched for answers as I've done my independent study, and I've concluded, and I'm curious to know what you think of this resolution, that people, particularly Polish Christians, have been traumatized from their experiences, the Nazi occupation and then the Russian takeover, and only now are they able, either as elderly people or the next generation, to unlock the past, but that this explains why there has been lack of communication between the two groups, but it is changing, and for the good.
Definitely,
yes.
Definitely for the good. And again, here being in Krakow, working in a Jewish institution, we are being extremely supported by the local population, local non-Jewish population. We feel safe here. We don't have guards. We don't have cameras. We don't have, you know, scanners. None of the Jewish institutions here in Krakow.
I'm glad you're saying this. People who are listening will understand what it is like in Poland today.
And this is something that majority of our American friends and partners were coming here for the first time. They are shocked to find how safe and how welcome we feel here in Krakow.
Yes, and how hard Poles and Jews are working toward reconciliation. I did an interview with Dr. Skudnicki, and he is a beautiful humanist, and his whole approach about this issue has to do with working harder on reconciliation. It's very inspiring.
And it's true that we are now in a very unique moment, because there are both. We have support from here. We have support from local Krakowians that consider us and other Jewish institutions part of their story.
Yes.
We have support from the city. We have support from the Polish government. We have support from U.S. based institutions like the Taubi Foundation, Corey Foundation. We have support from people in England and other places that believe
that there is a hope for this, that there is that giving time and money and help will then repay with the reconciliation, with building something better, with building a better future.
Well, I think this evolution has been amazing. I'm trying to think of the title of a book that covered the history of anti-Semitism in the 60s and 70s and the advent of the Holocaust Museum. Who was the writer of that book? My point is, I wish I could remember the author and the title, is that one has to be aware that there has been an evolution, and now with the internet there should be even a greater communication, and I think it is happening. I can remember meeting Eva Hoffman after she did her book. This was at an event at the Kosciuszko Foundation. She was talking about Lost in Translation, her book. And mind you, she was having difficulty communicating with an audience because of the silence of people and the anti-Semitism, that issue. It is a changed time that we live in now, and this comment leads to my next awareness, which has to do and curiosity about the new History of Jews and Poland Museum in Warsaw. Mm-hmm. You were at the Holocaust Museum in D.C. Could you explain to our audience briefly what the difference is between the two museums? Mm-hmm. Because although there's been quite a bit of coverage since the museum hasn't officially opened, I think more has to be known. So in a few words, could you
explain
what it's going to accomplish? I attended a few of the Galician Museum's wonderful programs that have been done over the years, with explanations of the development of the museum.
Yes, we are working with, even though that the Museum of the History of the Polish Jews is not yet open,
yes,
we've been working with them for the last 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Even when the museum didn't yet have building, they already have had educational activities, exhibitions and so on. And from the very beginning we were working with them, sharing our experience and trying to cooperate, and the museum definitely will change the landscape. So far there was no in Poland. This is the country of the 1,000 years of the history of the Polish Jewish relations. There was no museum devoted to this subject. So the museum will change the landscape. It's already changed the landscape. It's already changed the stories. This is the visible sign of the changes that are taking place here in Poland. The museum, the huge investition that is built thanks to the support of the founders from United States and from Australia and from many places around the world, but also founders from Poland, local businessmen, and also the government and city of Warsaw that paid for the building itself, which is an amazing, amazing, wonderful structure. The museum is unique because it won't be a Holocaust memorial. It won't be a Holocaust museum, unlike museum in Washington D.C. It will not be devoted only to Holocaust. And it's of course the main reason for that is we have the original Holocaust structures here. We have Auschwitz, we have Treblinka, Sobibor, Majdanek, we have all the things here. You can just go out of any place in any city, and in half an hour you'll find either concentration camp or mass grave and so on. So the Holocaust took place here, so we don't need to reproduce those things, because they exist and they are original. Of course, it's totally different from other countries, from States or France or Australia, where you don't have this. So you need to create an institution that would give you a sense of what the Holocaust was. So what's going to be amazing and in this new museum in Warsaw is that it's going to be devoted to the entire history. Just like the exhibition here at the Galicia Jewish Museum, it will not start with the Holocaust and it will not end with the Holocaust. The Holocaust is going to be an extremely important part of the story that will be told in Warsaw, but it's going to be only a part of the wider story. So it's designed to bring international visitors and Polish visitors and to allow them to understand the rich and long the history of the Polish Jews from the very beginning until present day, to show that this history never ended, that we all are today building this history. And that's what's unique. It's it's tough. It's unique. The design is wonderful. The building itself, which is not in a heavy dark place that will tell you, that will force you to feel overwhelmed by the destruction and death. No, it's opposite. It's light and it's ease. It's a lot of air and light and glass. This tells you from very beginning that the museum is about life.
That's a wonderful description. Thank you. Thank you very much.